Rick, let's start today with unemployment. The number of people in the U.S. seeking unemployment benefits rose last week.
The jobless claims numbers have been ticking upward nationally. I just took a look at the Florida numbers. They're actually down slightly. In the most recent report, that's consistent with a picture of moderating job growth at the national level. We had weak reports these last several months on employment, and so that's likely associated with the severe weather we've been having. It's hard to start building houses when the weather is so freezing cold outside, although we're seeing a discrepancy in some of the measures. So there's some contrast, some conflict in the data. ADP started out as automatic data processing. That's a firm that for the past 50 or 60 years has been processing massive shares of the U.S. payroll. And so they actually come out with their estimate on the first Wednesday of every month, 2 days before the federal government does. The ADP reports have been a little bit stronger, actually. And they say that's because their data do a better job of picking up actual payroll performance and that they're not as subject to bad weather claims, bad weather-related interruptions, as the U.S. commerce figures are. And so it's a mixed bag, but good news in Florida is that initial claims for jobless benefits are actually down slightly in the latest week.
Rick, let's talk more. You mentioned the cold weather, and there's more data out on the impact on retail sales.
Retail sales are not growing at the rate we'd like to see. Part of that is that prices are just soft generally throughout the economy. That's what the Fed is battling with its quantitative easing program, trying to keep deflation from kicking in. Deflation is what Japan's seen over the last several decades, and it's what the Fed desperately wants to avoid by pumping new money supply in, figuring that if you have more dollar bills chasing the same amount of goods and services, then you will have to have some price inflation. They hate deflation because it raises the cost of servicing debt. It's an unanticipated expense on borrowers, and so it slows the economy down. And that shows up in the retail sales numbers. We saw growth over the past 12 months is only 2.6%. And normally, you'd like to see inflation plus productivity growth as a figure for retail sales growth. You'd like to see 4 to 6%. But the fact that inflation is so low and overall spending is a little bit weak means we only got 2.6%. A lot of that drop is due to the fall in auto sales. And of course, you and I have discussed the cold weather. Nobody wants to go out and shop for a car when it's freezing cold. Pretty much flat except for auto sales, which grew 2% in the most recent month. But overall, month to month, we're down 0.4%, and year over the past 12 months, up 2.6%. So tepid performance in retail sales.
Let's take just a moment, Rick, to talk about news on the foreclosure front. RealtyTrack is reporting that fewer homes were repossessed in January.
That's correct nationally. But, you know, over the last several years, Florida has really been out of sync with the national economy in terms of the housing market. We grew so fast in the 2003 to 2006 period and then shrank so much 2007, really to when housing prices bottomed out and started to recover just in the last several years, that we've still got a foreclosure backlog. Plus, we're a judicial state. It takes 800 days plus for foreclosures to go through the system. I was just looking at the data for Escambia County for the last several months. And for December and January, we've actually had an uptick in the number of homes entering the foreclosure process. It's nowhere near what it was during the depths of the recession, but it's a little worrisome that we haven't continued our downward trend in the number of homes entering foreclosure. But the spring selling season hopefully will turn that around.
And very briefly, Rick, we wanted to at least note that Congress has voted to approve a debt limit bill.
Here they voted to pass a debt ceiling removal with no strings attached, which, you know, is actually quite good from the economics perspective, from the market perspective. Businesses can go about their business. People can buy and sell shares of those businesses without the fear that the whole government's going to come to a screeching halt. And so hopefully that frees us up to have a more meaningful discussion on what are the steps that ought to be taken to rein in federal government spending, and then what are the steps that ought to be taken to increase the amount of revenue available to fund essential needs.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.